You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Love Talk Live. I'm your host, Jamie Bronstein. And today I have with me Dr. Joel Gaidar. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so excited we're doing this. I know we were supposed to do this a few weeks ago and then things changed. And
it's been a crazy year, you know, that everything changes. And even in the office, you know, there's a lot more emergencies and random things and even COVID things. Like, you got to get it done when you got to get it done. So
yeah. And medical things, medical emergencies take precedence over this podcast. However, we're finally doing it. I know that you have so much to offer. My viewers are just going to love it. I know it's going to be so inspirational. So I'm going to read to you guys a little bit about Dr. Gaidar. Here we go. So Dr. Joel Gaidar Warsh is a board certified pediatrician in Los Angeles, California, who specializes in integrative medicine and is the host of the Raising Amazing podcast. He has worked in private practice in Beverly Hills before founding his current practice, Integrative Pediatrics and Medicine, in 2018. Dr. Gaidar has published research in peer-reviewed journals on topics including childhood injuries, obesity, and physical activity. He has been featured in numerous documentaries, films, podcasts, and articles including Broken Brain, Dr. Nandy Show, CBS, LA Parent, Mind Body Green, and many others. He is also the owner of integrativepediatrics.com and is the host of the Integrative Pediatrics Summit. He is a consultant for high-profile brands in the health and wellness space. Dr. Gaidar, is there anything that you aren't doing, and how do you have time?
I'm trying to fit in as much as I can, but you know, it's a crazy time. So I'm trying to spend more family time now. You know, I think that's super important with everything going on. And definitely if there's one thing, you know, I feel like has come that's good from the pandemic is a little bit more family time. So I'm trying to be really good about only doing so many podcasts and so many whatever. So I think, you know, that's where we're at, but definitely doing a good chunk of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you keep busy and you're helping people, which is great. So you're going to be talking about the radical middle way. Do you want to tell us what that is? And also, I would just love to hear your story about how you even got into what you do and everything.
Sure. So let me start with the story of what I got into first, and then we'll go into the middle way. So I am a fully board certified pediatrician. I did all the regular training, but I just got a little bit frustrated with the regular system and the super short visits and treating everything with a medication all the time. I had seen so many people or kids or even had friends that had chronic illness that they went to the doctor didn't really have a good solution for them. Then they went to a natural doctor and it got better. And I was like, wait, what is going on here? Why are all these people going to, you know, natural practitioners and getting better when they've been through the medical system for so long and there isn't really great answers? And so that's what really led me to start learning about natural medicine and alternative medicine. I'm not against Western medicine at all. I just think that there's a time and a place, and there's so many other philosophies and traditions and supporting systems out there that can be very valuable to us today. And so that's where just learning about those and balancing between both worlds has been really helpful in my practice, where we do a little bit of both. So that's kind of how I got here today. And you know, just in general, when I first started, I wasn't sure how that was going to go, but it really seems like people are, you know, very, especially in Los Angeles, people are really starting to get into alternative medicine, and they're really understanding the benefits that you can find from that. And so people are seeking it out, and we got busy really, really fast, which is great. And lots of celebrities come to the office, and politicians and all sorts of crazy, you know, interesting people. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. It seems like people are really into this. And so then I started just thinking, well, if this information is great, but you know, in the office, you're only getting it to a few people. So really I wanted to get, you know, more in the public space and start doing more talking and and podcasts and summits. And that's what really led to doing some of those events. And we had a first pediatric summit that had 20,000 parents sign up. So it was really, really cool. So that's kind of how, you know, we got here today. And now just trying to keep spreading that message.
It's amazing. And I personally am a fan of holistic anything and everything, because you do need to look at the whole picture. And so I love that you are spreading awareness of what you're doing. You're teaching. Like, it's interesting because the reason why I do my show is for the same exact reason. I always say I want to be able to help more than just the people that come to my couch, which now it's a couch, but it will be a So I get it. I mean, we have messages to share. And so I love that you're sharing your message.
Thank you. And then so the second part of the question about the radical middle way. So I think it's important to just tell a little bit of a story about where the middle way comes from as a philosophy. I'm not particularly religious. I'm not Buddhist, but I think there's a lot to learn from traditional medicine, traditional philosophy. And there's a great story about Siddhartha, who becomes the Buddha. He becomes the Enlightened One, where he was born a prince, father of the king, very, very, very wealthy family. And the father really wanted to make sure that he never felt any pain and really was outside of the world, lived in the castle, didn't really know anything about the problems of the world. But as he got older, he realized that he wasn't very happy. He started learning about life outside the palace and wanted to go see it. After asking his father many, many times to go, finally the king let him go out into the world. But the king told the servants, don't let him see anything. Don't let him see any of the real world. I don't want him to know this. But obviously when he was out in the real world, he saw pain, he saw suffering, he saw hunger, poverty, and this really touched him. And he was already having second thoughts about this lavish lifestyle. And he decided that, I'm going to leave the palace life and I'm going to go live as a beggar. Maybe I'll be happier if I don't have anything. So he was out in the world for many years and really didn't have anything, was very nomadic, but also at the same time was also still not very happy. And then one day he was by the water, saw a boatman who was tuning an instrument with three strings. One had a really high pitch twang, one a really low pitch, and then one sounded beautiful, just right, just like Goldilocks and Three Bears. And then he had this epiphany that we need to be, he should be living the middle way. Not the lavish lifestyle isn't necessarily the best. Being a poor beggar isn't necessarily the best, but there's a middle way. And then he went on to become the Buddha and spread this message of the middle way and balance. And so that's where that concept of the middle way comes from. And then to me, radical middle way is really thinking of, well, we're so out of balance right now. The world is so out of balance. Humans are out of balance. Relationships are out of balance. Medicine is out of balance. Health is out of balance. And so the concept of being radical and being in the middle and being more balanced, that to me is like really where we need to be. We need to be radical, which seems like a crazy thing when it comes to balance, but most people are on two sides. They're just fighting about everything. We seem divisive about all topics, and we need to be radical and come back to the middle and be more balanced. So that's where I come from, that concept.
What's coming to me is it's also about being intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be intentional about being balanced.
Correct.
That's making the radical decision to just to be there, to go there, to make it happen.
Exactly. And to think about it, to think about, what are you doing? What message is it sending with what you're doing? And how does this, affect you and your family? And I'm a pediatrician, so I'm always thinking about, kids and the family and seeing that situation from, health perspective more so. But it's very obvious that we're out of balance on everything. I mean, you can go onto social media any day and look at any Facebook discussion, and it just pretty much turns into arguing all the time. And I remember, a few years ago, it was like you look at pictures of puppies and funny injuries of dads or whatever. And now it's like, political stuff and anger and fighting about everything. And that there's no good that comes from that. And that division seems to be seeping into all aspects of our world.
Yeah, there's so much againstness. And there's also so much fear. There's this energy of fear that's in the world. And so, I would love you to speak to this. I work with my clients on, so you can't control what's going on outside of you, but you can control what you let in. Mm-hmm. And so my question would be, so when there's all this disarray going on outside, how do you work with people to help them bring that balance?
It's a really good question. And for me, it's control what you can control. That's a big aspect of parenting. It's a big aspect of parents' relationships. It's a big aspect of what I do as a healthcare practitioner. And going back to being out of balance, that's not what you see a lot of when you get regular care these days. A lot of medicine is focused on treatment, right? You have a symptom and then you get a medication. But what's not focused on is the prevention, is the discussion, is talking about balance and what you can control. So for me, I call it the seeds of health is one of the big things that people can do to help, you know, gain their control back. So seeds or the foundations being stress, environment and toxins, exercise, diet, and sleep. So just thinking about those basic foundations, the things that you can control. And if you start to refocus back on some of those things, then you see your health go into a better direction, your relationships go into a better direction, you're happier, your mood is improved, and you start seeing health changes. And especially with the pandemic, you know, people forgot about a lot of this stuff. You know, we know if there's one thing you can do from a natural perspective that's helpful, it's vitamin D, but yet we were inside all the time, right? And we weren't in some places able to go out and exercise all the time, or you still can't really very easily go to the gym in certain locations. And all these things are extremely important. And you have to remember to focus on those things and find a way to do it. I know even for my wife, you know, she loves exercising, and that really threw her off balance because she just couldn't do the exercising that she needs to keep herself healthy and happy. And then that throws off her mood, and then it throws off everything. So it's about coming back to that and those simple things.
Yeah. And it's about self-care. Mm-hmm. No, it's not, I would say it's not selfish. It's self-full. Like, we really do need, and we're the only ones who truly know what works best for us in terms of our self-care. So we need to listen to that and do whatever we need to do to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of others.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, for me, it's a lot of parents that I work with, but the concepts hold true, whether you're parents or not. It's, you know, you have to find time for yourself, right? People, we're all so stressed. I mean, the world is stressful as it is, but then the pandemic threw gasoline on a fire, and we have to remember to take time for ourselves, no matter what's going on out there. Cause you can't be a good, you can't be a good parent. You can't be a good, you know, husband or wife or partner, if you aren't taking care of yourself. You have to make sure to take care of yourself first, and then you can take care of the relationship or your children. You got to do, you know, both, I think, but you can't, we get so out of balance when we just focus on making sure our partner's happy or making sure our children are happy versus taking care of ourselves. And a lot of, you know, we remember, like, what's the most important thing to a kid is to have a happy parent, to have a good relationship with their friend. That's what they care about most. So if you're not taking the time to, you know, go for a walk outside, get some exercise, eat right, prepare your meal. You know, one meal that you don't prepare, it's not a big deal. But if over a whole year you're eating out all the time, you're not eating healthy food, you're not exercising, that affects who you are. That affects your health. That affects your mood. Yeah. That affects your life.
Yeah, I mean, we are what we eat. We are what we eat.
We literally are, exactly.
Literally, yes. Yeah. So important. And as you were talking, I'm just thinking that something that I always say, happy me, happy we.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay. Well, since we were just talking about relationships, what do you think, what's your advice for people when it comes to restoring balance within your romantic relationship? You know, we just went through this pandemic. There's so much togetherness time that what I've been talking about a lot is that the lines have been blurred between like work self and then also romantic self, romantic togetherness. So I'm wondering, like, in your world, what you've been talking about with people, just about how to have that balance in your relationship, balancing the work and the life and the kids, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty unique perspective on relationships because I see parents all the time, and I see what they're going through from, you know, the medical visits and just, you know, kind of over time seeing things change. And I feel like over the last year, you know, obviously the pandemic, well, no, for sure, the pandemic has affected everybody, and mental health has been severely affected. People were more depressed, they're more anxious, they're having all sorts of mental health issues that they maybe were never having before. And there's just huge fear about their own health, about their parents' health, about their kids' health that we never really had before. I mean, there's always some concern about health, but I think that it's just so hyper-focused because of social media and seeing it all the time, that that has become a major stressor that was never there before, compounding all the other stressors, like, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to make money? I lost my job. What, you know, all the other things that people have gone through. And so relationships between you know, parents or couples or partners, I think that's taken a back seat. It's really taken a back seat. Like anything for humans, you know, we do what we need to do in the moment to survive, mm-hmm. right? Just like the fight or flight response, you do what you need to do with, you know, you have a cortisol surge and epinephrine, all the hormones that keep you alive. Like if a tiger's coming to get you, but, you know, we're not necessarily having a tiger come to get us right now. These are more long-term issues. And so that's something that I think now, as hopefully things are starting to, you know, continue to improve, we have to go back and say, okay, I've been in this stressed out state for a long time. We, you know, haven't been focusing on a relationship. We have, you know, been at home for almost a whole year. We haven't seen people. We have done, you know, we've had a very different lifestyle. We have to identify that and acknowledge it and try to take small steps to go back, you know, to some sense of normalcy and decrease that stress. That might mean turning off your social media, right? Turning off the news, turning off social media, stop, you know, hearing every single piece of news every 5 minutes that says the world's going to end. You know, you got to turn that off and have some breaks from that. Second, you have to spend some time focus on the relationship. And if you've been, you know, at home forever, you know, maybe it's time to take a vacation. Maybe it's time to take a trip, even if it's a road trip to the middle of nowhere. You know, just spending time doing some of those things that you were doing before that we took for granted. And if there are things that make you happy, like gardening or dance or exercise, well, hopefully some of those things are opening back up now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't feel bad about taking the time to do that, because you have to work on these things, and we've moved in one direction and we have to go back now. You know, this was such an extreme year, right? It was so out of balance in terms of everything that we had to deal with, but it's not the normal. And, you know, there's been so many crazy things that happened in the world over time. You know, there's been a Holocaust, there's been, there's wars, there's famine, there's tornadoes, there's all sorts of natural disasters and things that have happened, but it always, you know, we always have a terrible time and then things end and it gets better. And so I think you just have to remember that this is going to end. Things will get better. And so slowly now, as you can, as is reasonable with wherever you live and the time that you have and the finances, you start to take those steps back to a focus on your relationship, because it's really important and you can't neglect it forever. You know, or everybody ends up with my wife or you. And, you know, I said divorce, right. and the divorce rate went way through the roof, right? I mean, it was nothing for a while, and then now it's crazy. And my wife is, you know, phone rings off the hook all the time, because you really
she's a divorce lawyer.
She's a divorce lawyer, yeah. You know, if you're stuck with one person for a whole year and it's not the right partner, it's gonna the cracks will break through at that point. So I think, well, you'll see it.
I keep saying that COVID doesn't cause divorces. These are things that were already there that, you know what, it's meant to be. I believe that, well, I believe everything's meant to be. Everything happens in divine timing. Mm-hmm. And so if someone is going to discover that they're going to be getting divorced because of this time, I just believe it was a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree totally. And I just think that because of what everybody went through, it's put a lot of pressure on relationships, because, you know, you're stuck in theory in the same room, you know, the same house, whatever amount of space you have with that one person for a full, you know, you're not going to work. Maybe, you know, maybe your kids aren't in school. You're having to deal with many more issues than you ever had to do. So it's putting, you know, all of those pillars of a relationship really into play in a very hyper-focused, hyper-drive kind of way. And so those things shine through. And if you don't have the teamwork, if you can't compromise, if you aren't in the same place, if you don't have the same values, that's going to show during this time, I think, more than anything. And that's what I think we have seen, is just, you know, we've come to the realization maybe faster than you would have, because you had to handle stresses that you never would have had to handle before in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's in your face. There's nowhere to go. And smart people will look at those things instead of not looking at them. You know, because you have nowhere to physically go and this is the person to talk to, it's turning inward versus going elsewhere and turning outward to really look at what's going on in your relationship and communicate. Without
exactly. Fear. Yeah. And I find for Sarah and I, you know, it's been a whole new world of communication this year. There's just so many things that we, you know, couldn't do that we usually do, you know, traveling, You know, it's like, well, I haven't been on a big trip in forever. And that's like a big part of what I love to do and what she loves to do as well. But we just, you know, we find ways. We went on, you know, shorter trips, car trips, you know, things that you could do. And you just, you have to compromise and figure out together, okay, well, what are you going to do, you know, to keep you happy? How are you going to exercise? You know, we bought a spin bike. It's like, okay, we have one in our house. You know, you need to do what you need to do to get through it, you know, based on what's important to both of you. And you either come together in a crisis or you get pushed apart. And you know, we're seeing a lot of that. And I think a lot of relationships are a lot stronger at this point, but a lot are definitely not.
Yeah, I just feel like it just has brought everything to the surface for the highest good of all concerned. It is for the best, even though I would say that life happens for you, not to you. You know, no one's a victim in this. Everything is happening for a reason, for our learning, for our growth, for us getting to be closer to ourselves so that we can be closer with our significant other and the world.
Yeah. And you're always going to have bumps along the way. I mean, this was a big bump, right? But everybody's going to have things that are thrown at them. And it's really just about how you respond to those things, how you respond as a person, how you respond as a couple. No couple is going to go 50 years together and not go through some crises, you know, with death in the family or sickness or whatever. I mean, everybody's going to go through that over a marriage. So you really have to, it really just depends on how you respond to it. And the pandemic to me is no different. It's just, this is something that I don't think that I in my entire lifetime have seen anything like this. I think this is one of the biggest issues probably for our, you know, our generation, if not the biggest. But there's always things. I mean, there's a lot of people that have had worse problems in their life than the pandemic has brought for them. So there's always something, and it's just how you respond.
One of the greatest things about everything that's gone on, bless everybody's souls who has lost a loved one and who has left this earth, is this is one experience that goes across race, gender, socioeconomic status. Like, everybody has experienced this. And so in so many ways, it has brought us as a society closer together. Yes, there are so many things that are so against us at this time. But in terms of relatability, everybody experienced this. Everybody did.
Everybody did. Everybody went through a hardship, and we all went through it together in a way. But it's you know, it's an interesting thing because I talk about it a lot on the podcast as well, because we focus a lot on the mental health aspect of things, which, you know, I think is very relevant here, is that we have been isolated to a degree, right? People were at home, a lot of Zoom calls. So yes, we had some connection, but it was very different. But what I have seen as a doctor, which is different than I think most people, is I still see people all the time, right? Even through the pandemic, I was still working and still seeing people every day. And it was a common thing to see everybody was going through very similar mental health concerns. And most people think it's them, but it's not true. We're all going through it together. We're just not necessarily experiencing it together, but we're experiencing very similar things. And I think there's a lot of power in knowing that you're part of a tribe, part of a community, you know, you're not the only one. And just the more that we talk about it, the more that we discuss it, I think the more that it helps people, because they realize, oh, you know, okay, everybody else was having trouble too. My kids watch more TV than normal. Okay, I guess that's fine. Everybody else's kid watch more TV. Oh, you know, I was a little bit more sad over the last couple of months. Well, maybe it's not my husband. Maybe it was me. Maybe I was just sad. Maybe everybody was sad and it's, you know, it's not their fault and I should give them a little bit more break. Or maybe my husband or wife or partner was, you know, I wasn't realizing what they were going through, what issues they were dealing with, and the way that they were reacting maybe not, you know, wasn't the way that I would do it, but I understand what they are going through because everybody's going through something. And that understanding and that acknowledgement, I think, can help open discussions and help the healing begin.
It's compassion. Mm-hmm. I feel like our level of compassion has risen, and hopefully it stays there.
I hope so. I hope that the level of compassion increases, and also a focus on health increases. Yeah. I think, you know, we've talked about health more than ever before. And I hope that, you know, from this, especially when, you know, specifically to health, we know that with the pandemic, the biggest risk factor is other diseases and other comorbidities and, you know, obesity and diabetes and other health complications. We know that that makes, you know, coronavirus worse, but that's true of anything. And I hope people remember that moving forward and understand that they have to put a priority on themselves and their health. And that comes from, you know, the relationship, the stress, everything that you're doing. You have to prioritize that, because at the end of the day, if you aren't, you're going to be susceptible to whatever comes our way in the future.
Well, I do feel like my sense is that most people will continue to focus on their health and make sure that they are being as healthy as possible, hopefully. And regardless, we just know that we can still share that message and spread that awareness, mm-hmm. To just make sure that people stay healthy. And for me, I hope that people stay germophobic, because I've always been a germaphobe, and I love getting in an elevator now and seeing other people like use a wipe, or like, I don't even use an elbow, like, but I don't have to be the only one doing this now. So I hope that people stay germophobic also.
I think that we're going to see that. I, you know, like everything we talked about, it's all about balance, and you don't want to be too germophobic, right? Because you still want to go out in the world and you still want to be able to be around people. And, you know, I hope that we can, you know, hug again and shake hands and all those things on a regular basis. Cause I think that that is important, you know, in terms of connection as well. Even, you know, as it goes to relationships, if you're like super, super, super germophobic, then it's like, it makes it really hard to be in a relationship,
right.
Be around somebody or get a hug. So I think, you know, it goes both ways, but I think people were so complacent for a long time with their health. I mean, even just as simple as like going to work sick, you know, it's like,
yeah,
please stay home. Like, if you're not feeling good, let's appreciate and understand that we should be allowing people to have more time off if they need to. If you're not feeling good, people shouldn't take advantage of it. But I think it's important that if you're not feeling good, stay home. If you do have symptoms and you must go out somewhere, I think it's fine to wear a mask. It doesn't have to be just a pandemic thing. I think if you have to go somewhere, so be it. But I think that, you know, at the end of the day, bacteria and germs are good too. There's a good and a bad, right? We're made up of bacteria, so we don't want to be completely germophobic. We don't want to wipe everything down, but you know, a kid with a runny nose, we should be wiping that down so other kids aren't all getting sick. I mean, that's fine, right? It's just about balancing the world and recognizing that, you know, it's not okay to just go to a group of kids with your sick kid, whatever it is, whatever flu or whatever disease they have. Let's keep those to ourselves.
Well, I think people have seen how easily it is to spread viruses. So mm-hmm. I think people have been educated now. Hopefully they'll be smarter in the future. Yeah. Okay. We're almost out of time. I want to talk about, I know you wanted to talk about nature and the plant. So
yeah, I think that all goes together in terms of balance, but we're very clearly out of balance when it comes to the planet with all of these things. I mean, we lack an awareness of where our food comes from, how things are made, what pollution is doing to everyone, what the toxins in the world are doing to everyone. And chronic disease is skyrocketing. I mean, almost 50% of kids have a chronic disease at this point. And more than that is adults, more than 50%, you know, are on medications. And so we're clearly out of balance. And I was watching the David Attenborough, his latest special, and he was showing, you know, Chernobyl, and he was talking about how, you know, this is like a crazy, crazy experience, and you know, we've done so much damage there, but then, you know, you show it now and it's all green and everything's growing back.
We saw that actually.
And he's like, you know, we have to make a decision as to how we're going to handle the planet. The planet's going to be okay. You know, it's just whether, you know, we're going to decide whether we want to be a part of it or not. We're so disconnected from nature. We don't know where food comes from. We don't grow our own food anymore. We ship things across the world. We just take so much for granted, and we can only push the planet so far. And you know, our health is intimately connected with the planet's health, and we're not going to be healthy, you know, unless we fix where we're living. And the classic example is like the fishbowl. You know, you have a fish in a tank that's full of chemicals and you know, it's all cloudy versus, you know, the other fish tank. You can't give that fish medicine to make it better. You got to clean the water, right? And that's the same, you know, same thing for us. We're just, you know, really smart fish or really smart plants. We need healthy food. We need healthy air. We need water. It's got to be clean. It's got to be toxin free. And we're just, you know, completely surrounded by chemicals all the time. And so I think just, you know, in general, when we're talking about balance, that's a huge, huge place to focus on over the next 10, 20 years. Because we saw how much healing the planet did even in just a few months when we were during the pandemic. I mean, it's
not
crazy
as much. It's not.
I mean, Los Angeles had the best pollution day it had on record ever during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, it shows you how amazing and resilient the world is. if you give it a chance, if you give it a chance, if like, you know, if we give the world a chance and we don't, you know, we're not in the ocean and the animals get to talk to each other more when we're not there, you know, that we're, I saw, you know, videos of turtles on the beaches that, you know, they don't go back into the, out from the water back on the, until the humans leave. And then they're having the best birth year ever because there's no humans there. You know, it's just, there's so many things that we do that we don't think about. That, you know, I hope over time this will at least make us a little bit more conscious of. I don't assume that humans are just going to stop doing all those things in general, but I think if we're a little more conscious of it, then we can, you know, hopefully live a little bit more sustainably.
Yeah. Well, being conscious and aware is the first step. And when I was just thinking about how there was less driving and less pollution, and it's also like that there was just a slowing down. People just stopped running all the time. And we've seen some, we can work from home. You can't always, but a lot of people can work from home. We don't have to drive as much.
Right.
You don't have to be constantly running from meeting to meeting and making ourselves crazy. It is about slowing down and balance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, people forgot about family, forgot about being home. They forgot about, you know, all those other things that we just, you know, you just take for granted now. And you don't necessarily need to drive to work. Maybe you don't need to work as much. Maybe you do. And everyone's a little different, but you know, 5% of people don't drive to work anymore. And, you know, some people spend more time with their family and some people spend more time with gardening. And, you know, a lot of people have moved out of cities. And you know, if that trend continues, then hopefully that will just continue to pick up steam. And every little bit helps. You know, it doesn't have to be all perfect, but if we decrease pollution by 1%, that's, you know, it's good. It's very good. You know, everything that we do is good. So you know, and even coming back to your own health, it's not that you have to do everything, right? We don't have to do everything for the planet. We don't have to do everything for our health. You don't have to eat, you know, healthy every single day and exercise for 3 hours every day. You don't have to do it all, but every little bit helps to keep you healthier and keep the planet healthier.
And to keep you in balance.
Exactly.
Radical balance. Okay, so anything else you'd like to add and et cetera? Also, I would love you to promote your podcast, everything you have going on, et cetera.
Sure. So a couple of places you can find me at Instagram, Dr. Joel Gator, or you can go to integratedpediatrics.com. We have a free immunity and wellness masterclass there. So you can go download that. And then the podcast is the Raising Amazing podcast. I do that with Serena Vincent. She's an actress. She's one of the Power Rangers. She's an amazing woman, actress. And so we kind of blend the best of the celebrity world with the medical world. We got lots of celebrities on and we have lots of practitioners on. Like we had Malika Chopra, Deepak Chopra's daughter. We had Ian Smith, who's the host of The Doctors. We have Kyla Pratt, who's an actress. So there's a whole bunch of, you know, all different worlds. We kind of bring it together again with balance to talking about celebrity and fun things and also talking about medical, and it's all in the parenting world.
I love it. Okay. So, and anything else you would like to add, any final words, inspirational words to people? And then I have a question for you actually.
Yeah. The thing I always want to leave people with is it's going to be okay. You know, there's so much research out there about disasters and pandemics and war and all of these things. And people end up okay. Most people end up okay. Most kids end up okay. We know that more than 50% of kids in every study that's almost ever been done don't have any long-term effects from any of these things. And then another 25% have very short-term, you know, effects. So just keep that in mind. I think that's empowering to know that, you know, kids will be okay. We will be okay. We will get through this and just, you know, keep the positivity and keep working, you know, towards getting back to some semblance of where things used to be, whether it's relationships, whether it's your health, whether it's your family, because together we will come out of this. We will come out stronger. And this will be over, hopefully soon.
Yes, it will. And yeah, just resilience. And yeah, I mean, I look at my son, like he just any little thing, he gets a scrape or anything and he's just bounces right back up. And so it's all children are like that. All adults are like that. We are resilient. We are a resilient species.
We are.
Okay, my question is, long story short, you'll have to send this to me. You'll have to email me. But speaking of health and everything, my husband needs an adult doctor. I don't think you see kids. I mean, I don't think that you, the pediatrician, sees adults. He I know he would like to start taking better care of himself. So feel free to refer us a great doctor for him.
I will. I'll be happy to. I'll send you the list of the people that everybody loves around here.
Okay, perfect. So that's it. So thank you so much for joining us. And as always, everybody can reach me at therelationshipexpert.com. Dr. Gator, Dr. Joel Warsh Gator. Your Gator name that is so fun, especially kids with the alligator.
Lots of alligators around.
So fun. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And you're amazing. And thank you everyone for joining us. Join us every week on LA Talk Radio, Love Talk Live. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you.
You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.